I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. A bad seat, a broken night, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, had a bad tape, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York City. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. People dressed in plastic bags, rent to drive, some kind of fashion show. What up, you do? But all my friend Nick, come around, fetch a fresh potter. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess. This town's a tatter. My face is splattered all over Manhattan. Shake it up, should do. The Devils just took a 3-2 lead on Tampa Bay with just under 7 to go at The Rock. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, Carver High, what's the update from City? We have a disaster on our hands.
Mets had a 6-1 lead going into the top of the eighth here. It is now 7-6 Nationals.
So they blew a 5-run lead.
Correct.
And now they're trailing 7-6.
Yes.
What a disaster.
Not a good scene.
It's not finished yet. They still have an out left here. Even brought Familia in to get the inning plus save and hasn't been able to close
Mi
it out.
Mi Familia. Dwayne Wade lighting it up tonight. I think he's got 23 points in this game. He passed Larry Bird, moved into 10th place in the all-time postseason scoring list. As the Heat are trying to even up the series with the 76ers, they're up 81-67 with just under 2 minutes to go in the third in Philadelphia. Dwayne Wade, 9 of 10, I believe, from the floor. Just so you know, I gave a shout-out earlier that the Leafs beat the Bruins. That series now 2-1 Boston as they win Game 3 at the ACC in Toronto. Marlowe twice. Matthews a snapshot in Van Riemsdyk, the first goal. 4-2, they beat the Bruins. Chara and McQuaid for Boston. Devils 3-2. So they just took the lead, the Devils, 3-2 on the Lightning in the third, 6 minutes to go. Taylor Hall has a goal in that game. So does the Butcher did it. And I think it's Nesson. Nosen with the go-ahead goal in the third from Hall. Predators have set to go momentarily from the Pepsi can. In Denver, and the Ducks Sharks at the bottom of the hour. We'll be watching that one, and we'll be watching the Golden State Spurs game tonight at Oracle. Of course, the Warriors took game one easily, blowout style, and then they're laying 9.5 tonight. And they also, after the game, Draymond Green let everyone know that we're all a bunch of idiots. Everyone's a poser, that the Warriors are the greatest team on earth, and they'll win without Curry. We don't need Curry to win, is what he said.
I hope they win the next game, the next three games by 50 points each. After what that what Popovich did on Saturday after that game, I hope they win each of these next three.
His
games
treatment
by
of people,
50.
You mean?
The way he treated those people
it's
in that room.
It's deplorable.
After, look, you don't want to talk.
He's an ass.
You don't
want to
answer
him.
Questions. Then just either don't show up, or just do like what Belichick does and just stand there and go, "Listen, we lost." Honestly, he's got a. I don't like how he gets into berating the guy like, did you watch the game?
Or how
what
about,
kind of question
how
is that?
How about when he walks in the room and he says, oh, yeah, I got to do this again. He goes, oh, my God, I'm so sick and tired of this. It's like you're making $7 million a year. You can't do 10 minutes in the press conference after the playoff game there, coach. Mr. Happiness, you ugly freak. I can't even look at you, let alone listen to your mean treatment of people after games, you ass.
That guy is a great coach.
I hate him.
I'll give him that.
Screw
but his,
him.
His
I hate
act,
him. Screw that ass.
His act is so
He's a
stale.
Giant D. I can't stand him.
It is stale. It's tired, and I'm tired of watching that guy.
Sick of him treating people bad. He treats everyone bad unless you have cancer.
Lose the next three games by 50.
He's only nice to people that are dying. Remember?
Yeah.
Sager, he talks great about him, but everybody else is a loser. Everyone that does media for a living, any journalist, reporter, sportscaster, you're all a bunch of idiots. He's a genius. You're less than human. I'm going to treat you like crap. And he also thinks he should be running the country because he's got all his political views. Sick and tired of Popovich. His act is so stale. It really is. Nice job this year, Coach. You did a hell of a job with that team down in San Antonio. I can't stand him either. So
by 50.
I hope they... So you won the Warriors by 50 tonight.
50.
50. I don't think they can do that without Curry.
Well, threw Kawhi under the bus again after that game when they're asking about maybe his return. He's like, you got to ask his people when he's come back. I have no idea.
His group.
His group.
Yeah, he won't be on the Spurs next year. After that comment, you
I think that's
that.
Becoming pretty obvious that he's out of there. He doesn't play anymore. He doesn't show up for the games. He's nowhere to be seen. And then your boy, Pop, says you got to talk to his group. That means he's unapproachable, right? That means he has nothing to do with them. We'll talk to Nick Alberga. He hosts Ice Cap and Off the Rush on NHL Radio. He's going to be on at 10:40 this very hour, 11 Eastern. Rod Walker from the New Orleans Advocate talking about the Pelicans. Nice win in Portland over the weekend. I told you this is a dangerous team. I love AD and my boy Rondo. Holiday came up big for him, a huge block late in that game. An enormous win for them against the Blazers on the road, the 6-3. This is a very dangerous team. He has put that team on his back and literally carried them since Cousins went down with the Achilles tear. I mean, if you ask me, he's been more of an MVP. Colorado on the board early. Less than 2 minutes in and they're up. They got to Como with the goal. I believe he had it. One zip. They're out of the gates early at the Pepsi can. Do you think they can win tonight, Carver High?
Absolutely. First home game of the series, they can win tonight.
Along the goal line, a snapper across the ice in front on the doorstep. Beautiful goal line feed along the ice to a charging Como who blasted in with the stick one-timer over the shoulder. There you go. So, all the games tonight, Toronto with a huge win, I told you, and the Devils are winning. Did I not just have this game on? What is it me? They switched that game over? Is that what they did? Was I not watching the other game?
Somebody might, they might have changed the channel in another area, so I'll have to find you that channel.
Here we go with these people. So, I think, so what you're telling me is maybe I had that Devils game on the top TV, and then they
switched
it.
You know what? I think you had it on. You had it on the channel that the Boston-Toronto game was on, and they were probably just giving you a little extra coverage of the Devil game, and they were waiting for the start of the Avs-Nashville game. So we're going to have to get you the channel that's got the end of the Devil
game. How much is time left on the game?
I believe about 5 minutes.
Shouldn't I be watching that exciting last 5 minutes?
Other than the 17 minutes left in the first period of Colorado, probably.
Over the weekend, Vegas took a commanding 3-0 lead over the L.A. Kings with a huge third-period comeback, and the Blue Jackets put the Caps in a 2-0 hole heading to Columbus after another overtime win. That's two overtime wins for them, right? Games one and two. And I think Vegas will, at this point, right, sweep the Kings. Are you with me? They got, I mean, they're dead. They sucked the life out of them.
They absolutely did. That third period comeback, tying it early, and then the couple goals there, just the double overtime win on Friday night in game two. They played their game, and they were better than them. And they're going to hopefully finish this thing off.
Pacers upset LeBron 1-0. Celtics beat the Bucks in overtime in a crazy game one. We'll talk about that and the Pelicans game. Are you worried about LeBron and the Cavs down one zip? Reports say the real reason Gronkowski did not report to Patriots offseason workouts that are voluntary is not him contemplating retirement, but rather he's looking for new money. He wants a new contract. Will the Pats and Gronk eventually split, or will they give him a new deal? We want to hear from you. The Mets blow the lead at home at City against the Nats. We got our eyes on baseball as well tonight. Yankees with a blowout win over Derek Jeter's Marlins. I think they were up 12-1 a minute ago. It's the best time of the year on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Hockey and NBA playoff picks nightly. Baseball snags every day as well. Daily fantasy rosters, MMA, boxing snags. It's all there. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
So the Devils just scored into an empty net on a shorthanded, I believe.
Coleman
has the goal, whoever that is. And it's 4-2 Devils. Blake Coleman, a household name. So the Devils are back in the series now, down 2-1. They'll win this game at the very least.
And correct. This is what we need, because you need, we don't like 3-0 and sweeps. Like, we want as many games as possible, especially when it's two teams that we don't actually, really root for or care about.
Or like.
We just want more hockey.
They scored another empty netter. Now they're piling it on. Green with a goal.
So this is great. Like, that's why it would be great if, like, the Avalanche won tonight, or and maybe if the Ducks could actually show up for a game and win tonight. Just extend some series a little bit longer.
I mean, you got to admit, San Jose has kicked their ass.
They have, and on the both games in Anaheim, they played great both games.
So now they go home with house money.
Going to the tank up 2-0, just like Columbus will go home up 2-0 after beating the Caps.
You
two overtime games.
I mean, you can't tell me that's not a problem for the Ducks and for the Capitals.
Huge problem. Going on the road down 0-2, it's enormous. Enormous.
Enormous.
And you can't even go in there expecting to get both games. I know that's what you're trying to do, is win both games there, but you almost got to get a split, go home. And I know it's down 3-1, then you got to win 3 in a row. It's hard. But going into the opposing building and getting 2, but the other team just did it, so you got to try match them now.
Do you think Heeshire has the onions to get retaliation on Hedman?
He's a big dude.
He's a big dude. That'd be a bad mistake.
I would find another big dude on the Devils and have him go get it.
Tell him to do your dirty work?
Tim Boyle.
Do you think he'll be suspended?
Hedman didn't even get a penalty.
I know, but they could still go back and look at that.
Just so you know, what happened was he just skated.
And that's
up.
Why all this is happening right now.
Right. He skated over to Heeshire and gave him a forklift, a complete forklift with his stick up in between his legs into his onions. 100 miles an hour, a shaft riser slash, right? He went bottoms up from the ice up 100 miles an hour into his onions, and the guy bent over and just completely bit it because he had his onions caved in. The little rookie kid, he looks
even
like
in the UFC, that's not legal.
He looks 15 years old, Heeshire, and he looks scared to death that the guy did it to him. He's like, somebody just took it. This guy, Hedman, just took a stick and shafted me in my onions. What am I supposed to do with that? Because he's not man enough. Look at your boy Boyle starting fights. Look at
with Sergachev. He wants a piece of Sergachev.
Sergachev. And your boy Boyle's half crazy. He goes, I'm at chemo. You can't mess with me.
Well, the funny thing is he's laughing as he's, trash talking the guy. And Sergachev is going nuts.
I'd imagine Greg Popovich would really like Brian Boyle, considering what he's been through with Hodgkins. As long as you're sick, Greg Popovich likes you.
Well, he also shows up to the games. Even though he was sick, he showed up.
He's only friendly to people that are dying, apparently. If you're anyone else, he hates you. Especially with those good looks of his. Is he not the ugliest person on the face of the earth that is on television in any capacity?
He's probably in, like, the top 10. I don't
top
know if
10.
He's the ugliest. Like, I got to really
who's
think.
Uglier
I think
than
I
him?
Could find uglier people.
No,
I just have to
there's
think
no one
about
uglier
it
harder. Than him. Who's uglier than him, Mafia?
Who's the other Howard brother that's
listen,
in, like, every movie?
If you can be this mean to people, if you can be mean to people, if you can be abusive towards the press or to, you know, I guess anyone for that matter. Because what does he do? He goes into press conferences and he treats people like crap, right?
Terrible.
What does he do? Talks down to him.
What kind of question is that?
Bemoans him, degrades him.
Did you watch the game?
He tells him to get a new line of work.
Maybe you should do something else.
You should do something else. Bob Knight used to do that all the time. You should find another living to make. Did anyone see the Bob Knight 30 for 30? Did you see the...
I did not.
What was it called? Do you know what it was called? The End of Days, The End of Night? Wasn't it called something like that? Just so you know, I watched it. By the way, I ended up... The Last Days of Night. I went on and got that ESPN Plus subscription so that I could, like, watch things. I
figured, did you?
Yeah, why not? What do I care? I mean, they're better than this place. I mean, honestly, like, when you look at websites, where would you go? You'd go there, right? It's just so much better than, like, this one. It is. I mean, let's face facts. We have nothing to do with that website, do we? What do we have to do with them besides nothing? Anyway, so here's the deal. I'm just being honest. It's so average, and the other one's good. So you go to the good one, right? Is that fair enough? Am I allowed to do that? Carver, am I entitled to go to the one I like and that's better?
You could do whatever you
Thanks.
Want.
So I watched it, and neither one of you guys saw that piece?
Did not.
Let's just say it was not good for Bob Knight. It was just not good. So the story was about a reporter from CNN, Sports Illustrated, at the time, right? Remember CNN owned Sports Illustrated or something? They were in bed together. So they sent this guy to do the story on why 3-star players at Indiana transferred. All 3 in the same year transferred, right? Collier, Reed, and another one. I can't remember the other one. Collier, Reed, and one other kid transferred. And anyway, so the story goes that the guy had no idea why they transferred, right? That was his boss, the editor, wanted to know why he had transferred all of these players. And what he went and found out is that by the time he was done with the story, to make a long story short, he found out that Neil Reed had been choked by Bob Knight and that Indiana covered it up, right, and wouldn't even talk about it. Nothing. They do nothing. They did nothing about it other than sweep it under the rug. And to make the story even better was they could never get anyone to testify that he had done it until they finally got Reed and one other guy finally went on record. And then once Collier went on record, I believe, and said that he did it, then Ricky Callaway came on record and said he did it. And then the whole, barn door blew open, and then everybody started saying he did it. And then, to top it off, because he denied it and everything else, and then in the end, someone sent a tape of the practice in question with blown-up footage of Bob Knight choking Neil Reed by his neck, choking him. Don't you remember seeing this on TV one day when he choked the kid and his head snapped back, and then the kid transferred? Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but so it messed with this kid so bad. I never knew, like, because everyone hated Neil Reed. You remember? The story goes that everyone hated him. And, like, they blamed him for everything. They blamed Neil Reed for Bob Knight being fired after 30 years in Bloomington, right? They blamed the kid, not the guy. So they didn't blame the coach that choked him. They blamed the kid that got choked. Imagine being him and an adult that you play for, a coach you play for, that you were recruited and you got a full scholarship to play for, that guy chokes you by your neck and means business doing it. He wasn't doing it for fun. He meant business, right? Imagine they do that to you and no one has your back at Indiana. And remember, I went to school there. So I'm not, like, hiding under the sheets for this guy. I love Bob Knight. I truly do. But this story, without a doubt, he choked Neil Reed, all right? So eventually he had zero tolerance, got fired, and moved on and went to Texas Tech and, remember, coached there for a while. Then he went to ESPN and did about 8 years of analyst gigs, right? And then now he's basically... a nasty old man that lives in Lubbock, right, that won't go back to Indiana ever and still blames everyone. Not only does he blame everyone, he wishes death on all of them. Have you ever heard him do an interview where he wishes? One day they asked him, do you know most of the people that threw you out of there are dead? And he said, good, I hope the rest of them are dead too, soon. And he literally, they got him on tape saying it. He goes, I hope the rest of them die. He was on Dan Patrick when he said it. Live. He said, I hope the rest of them go too. That was literally word for word what he said. I hope the rest of them go too. Boom. And then there was like dead silence. To make a long story end right here, the story gets so creepy because did you know that Neil Reed would eventually die at like 32 years old? He dropped dead one day of like he had a heart attack and dropped dead. He was like a high school coach. And everyone loved him. He was adored by all these kids and players and teachers and at the school, this high school that he was at. And he literally lived his life the nicest guy in the world with the biggest smile and the greatest heart. And he grew older and got fat and everything and had a beard. He never played basketball again. He played in Europe pro and like Holland. And then he came back to the States and became a high school coach and eventually dropped dead. So it was just the saddest story I've ever seen, and it really painted a horrific picture of Bob Knight. It was terrible what they did to him, but it was all, you know, probably fairly accurate. He did it. He's guilty. He's busted. There's nothing he can say about it. All the talk about him not ever wanting to go back to Indiana, they even invited him back 100 times. They had the 76 team reunion. He wouldn't come to that either. He just wants nothing to do with Indiana. He blames Indiana for firing him to this day. He still to this day thinks he did nothing wrong. You talk about an abuse of power. This show, that hour, whatever it was, 30 for 30, they showed this guy completely with more power than the governor and the president of the university, Miles Brand, everybody. Teacher, there were teachers that tried to get him in trouble. They all ended up wanting to kill themselves. And one of them moved back to Canada and got death threats. They said they were going to kill his family. Marty Sperber, I think his name was. It was unbelievable. This story was unbelievable. It was such a dirty, dark picture of Bob Knight. It wasn't even funny. You have to watch it. If you haven't watched it, watch it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, Nick Alberga is on SiriusXM. He hosts Ice Cap and Off the Rush. So, Mafia, is that Ice Cap show the one we listen to after we leave here late at night and they got all the recaps of the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I think that is.
Nick, that show's awesome, dude.
You as well, my man. I was telling Carve throughout the year that I always listen on the drive home. You know what late night radio is all about, my man?
My brother. Hey, I love that show you guys do. I catch it when I leave work. It's great. I always tell Mafia that, like, I really, you know, don't have a whole lot of time, I'll be honest with you, to listen to radio shows. But I do listen to that one when I get in my car. I don't get to hear the channel during the day ever, to be honest with you. But you know I'm a huge hockey fan, so when I catch that show and tell you I like it, generally that's a great thing. It's a great day for hockey that you guys are doing that show. I like it. It's a really cool show. I'm sure you're – is the Off the Rush show your – is that like the daytime show you do for him?
That is the weekend show, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. So, because you know the meticulousness of late night radio, I try to get off that right. As much as I can. I do three nights a week and two weekends as well. But I have to deliver the favor as well because you're a great listen too. I'll be honest, I'm not big into the NFL, the NBA. I'm pretty into MLB, and you make it enjoyable to listen. How about that for a promo?
I love you. That's awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. But I like what you're doing. So welcome to the show. It's great having you on. Let me go back to tonight and how important those Leaf and Devil wins were for their breathing. I mean, if they don't win tonight, I think both of them are suffocating and it's over. And I honestly mean that, and I think that the LA Kings are in that position right now. They're literally gasping for air after they got their ass beat at home.
Oh, that's a very fair analysis, I would say, Scotty. You know, it really is sink or swim night around the Stanley Cup playoffs. You look at the four games, and we always talk about how pivotal and frantic the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is, but it hasn't been that story thus far. You even look at the Colorado game, they're down 2-0, but up 2-0 in that game on home ice, so great to see. San Jose and Anaheim just got going there. Weird in that series, the Ducks dropped the first two games. They had home ice advantage, but you surely nailed it. I mean, when you look at the Maple Leafs first, they pull out a 4-2 win. The big story in the first couple games was the domination of that top line for the Boston Bruins, and the Leafs shut that down tonight, utilizing a former Montreal Canadian. That's the hated rival of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Thomas Pekanic came over at the trade deadline, and he was thrown into a shutdown role. They did a pretty decent job. The Bruins' top guys had a couple of big-time opportunities in that game, but Frederik Andersen, the goaltender for the Leafs, certainly the difference. So it's 2-1 in that series, as you mentioned. And the New Jersey Devils, what more can you say? And you guys are in the area, of course, and it's not your beloved Islanders or New York Rangers, but Taylor Hall has been an exceptional story from puck drop of this season. Certainly on my short list to potentially win the Hart Trophy coming up in June, but he gets another three-point night. And now with four unanswered goals for the Devils in that game, showing a bit of a fight back. It's certainly, though, the underdogs in that series. Tampa's a really, really good team, but I really like what I saw from the Devils tonight, boys.
Sharks just scored. The Preds are up, too. I see Joe Namath with a goal. I didn't know he was playing for Colorado these days. But the Sharks just, I think Couture may have scored and jumped out one zip. So let me ask you about Hall real quick. Do you think that he's, because he's been brilliant all year for the Devils, and I've loved watching him play. Do you think he's angry? I think he's a guy that's very upset about what happened to him in Edmonton. Am I on to something or am I crazy?
Oh, you're definitely on to something. Beyond furious, I would say, in terms of what he meant or what he felt he meant to the Edmonton Oilers organization. No doubt it's going to take you a bit of time. A deal that came out of left field sort of for Taylor Hall. He felt like he was sort of the brain trust and one of the guys that was going to lead that team going forward with the likes of Connor McDavid, one of the best players on the planet. But he gets dealt. Adam Larson goes the other way. And certainly a bit of a transition last year for the New Jersey Devils and the way that team played. And obviously landing the first overall pick, Nico Hischier has been an exceptional find in terms of first overall picks and his significance to that team this year. But I think when you look at Taylor Hall and the way he's played this year, without question, a chip on his shoulder. I mean, from the get-go, and I know he had a lot of close heart-to-heart meetings with Ray Shero, the general manager, last offseason, and saying, hey, we really like you, we really want you here, but you got to take it to the next level. And he's gone above and beyond. That's why I think you can certainly make a case for Taylor Hall to win the Hart Trophy this season. The Devils have been in the playoff. We're in a playoff spot for, the most part of the season. And that's to be one of the biggest shockers. I know Vegas is a great story. I know Colorado as well. But Taylor Hall has really taken this team and said, hey, this is my hockey club. And that's great news, even tonight. I mean, they were down 1-0 in that game and found a way to bounce back. But he's been an unbelievable story for a franchise who certainly needed a guy like him, and he's been wonderful so far.
I got to tell you, Nick Alberga with us in Toronto with NHL Radio. I got to ask you, with the Leafs, like, I love Matthews like everybody does. He's an incredible talent. He had a nice snapper tonight with just skating around space, finding himself some room. You know, he's got Bergeron all over him. He finally dekes him out and does a spin cycle move and gets open and you know, snaps it in. And it was just a sickening shot. My question, though, is because I think they can win any game that guy scores in. It's a game generally they probably win. It's one of those type of players that if he's on the score sheet, they usually are winning. But I'm going to say this. I don't think they're better than that team, than Boston. I just feel like they're outsized, and they're getting out hit. And I thought tonight they were so desperate they had to win, and they did. Would you agree? Because I think Matthews has to take over this series for them, because I think they're playing a team that's actually better than they are.
100% agree. And as you know, my work throughout the season on NHL Network Radio, I mean, you watch a lot of hockey. And without question, Boston's been a ridiculous story since the midway point in November, where Tuukka Rask couldn't find the crease, couldn't stop a puck. Anton Hudobin, the backup, was admirable. And then, you know, they go on this unbelievable run to finish up this season. They have so much depth. Their back end is insanely good, too. Zdeno Chara, the ageless one, scores in this game tonight. Charlie McAvoy on that team as well. I mean, there is so much depth to that roster, and that top line has been carrying the team a lot this season. But I think you hit the nail on the head. If the Leafs are going to win this series or have a chance, because I do feel like Boston will win this in six games, although I'll be honest, I had Toronto winning this series in six games. You know, I think Austin Matthews, without question, has to be the main guy rallying the troops. I thought he was okay in this game. His linemate, William Nylander, has had a really decent season, but so far he's sort of been MIA here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But the way the Boston Bruins played, especially in the first couple games, they really used the body. The Leafs have absolutely no physical presence. Maybe Roman Polak on the back end, but that's about it. Right. Matt Martin, former New York Islander, not in the lineup right now. He's really, really struggled this season. So I would look for the Bruins, certainly, for a bounce-back effort coming up on Thursday, an extra day break between Game 3 and 4 here. You know, simply put, I think when you look at tonight's game, the big boys for Boston, that top line, who had 20 points in two games coming into Game 3 tonight, held off the scoreboard a minus 7. They're going to have a monster bounce-back performance, and it's up to the Maple Leafs and their big guys to match that, because it's hard to keep those three, as mentioned, on Boston's top line off the board. But I think if Boston wants to be successful here in Game 4, they have to get back to the physical nature. It is a matchup game, as you know, home ice advantage right now for the Maple Leafs in Game 3 and 4. But I would look for Boston to have a bounce back. And I do agree with you. I think Boston, the better team, and wouldn't be shocked if they have a long, long spring ahead of them.
Do you think, Nick, that the Penguins, they won the other day 5-1, so they won 7-0, 5-1, and then they lost 5-1 in an embarrassing game, too. Crosby does, it seems like, whatever he wants. If that guy has a good game, they win.
Yeah, you can't discount that team, Scotty. You know, anytime a team wins back-to-back Stanley Cups, there's a reason. You know, there's so much talent on that team. My big question is defensively for Pittsburgh, and I know last year they won without Chris Letang, one of the upper echelon defensemen in the league, but Matt Murray hasn't looked great to me. I'm talking about the netminder for Pittsburgh for all season, and I really wonder if this goes back and forth. It's really been a Jekyll and Hyde series. We've seen two really strong games from Pittsburgh, Game 2 non-existent. I feel like they have to put the foot on the throat of Philadelphia in Game 4 of that series. They don't want to prolong this thing. They've played a lot of hockey over the last couple of years, and certainly another one of those teams I expect to do something pretty significant again. They have Crosby, they have Malkin. Phil Kessel's been pretty quiet so far. Jake Gensel's always a worry this time of year in his second Stanley Cup playoff. But you talk about depth, I think Pittsburgh, one of those teams in that conversation. They pick up Derek Brassard at the trade deadline too. A well-oiled machine, I would put Pittsburgh in. It's important this time of year. I think guys stepping up in the depth scoring, you know what you're going to get from the likes of Malkin and Crosby, but it's the other guys who need to step up, as we're seeing around the Stanley Cup playoffs the last couple nights. So, Scotty, you can't discount Pittsburgh. They're remarkable. I know it's a tough stretch, a tough shot to win three consecutive cups. Hasn't been done in 35 years. The New York Islanders, the last team. But
right,
if there's one team to do it, it is probably the Pittsburgh Penguins, to answer your question.
I love hearing that. As you know, I love the Penguins more than my family. I just wanted to say, you're awesome. Hey, Carver, can we get Nick back on the show soon during the playoffs?
Of course we can.
So why don't we schedule another visit so we can keep talking pucks? I've run out of time here this evening, but you were fantastic. I love what you're doing on NHL Radio on Sirius. We'll get you back on to talk more during the playoffs. Great job tonight, and enjoy the rest of these games. Colorado scored again, by the way, and San Jose's up the 1-0 game. Enjoy the rest of the games tonight and all week long, and we'll catch up real soon. All right, brother?
Sounds like a plan. Thanks so much, and you as well, man. You're a beauty.
I love that guy, Nick Alberga in Toronto with NHL Radio. Hope I got that right, Mafia. It's a number of times I've had to say his name. Not easy if you drink a lot of scotch. Nick Alberga in Toronto. I was going to ask him all kinds of questions, Carver High, of what's wrong with the Raptor fans. They're all very angry. They blame America for everything. They're the ones that lose. They finally won a game. I bet on them the other day. They finally won a game one. They should be happy for once. Thank God the Leafs won tonight, or people would really be desperate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.